الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله All praises are for Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been very kind and merciful to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a very, very great and a blessed month. Allah has blessed us with this month and has placed in this blessed month, the month of Ramadan, a tremendous amount of blessings and rewards and virtues that you and I can get. When we look, we will see that indeed it is the greatest month and the most virtuous month that Allah has given to us. And there is no other month greater than this in the sight of Allah in the Islamic calendar. And Allah has been so compassionate to us that every good He has placed in this month and the good deeds that we do in this month, He has multiplied it. He has multiplied it again and again, so that though we may do something small, it is very, very significant in the sight of Allah, and it is very great in the sight of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in many traditions, he has enumerated and counted one by one the great virtues of this blessed month. At times he will tell us what Allah gives us in this month. At times he will tell us what Allah expects from us in this month. And at times he will encourage us by reminding us of our sins and our wrongdoings so that we will use this month to beg Allah. On one occasion, he said, O those of you whose back are laden with sins and you carry around on your back loads of sin, lighten your weight by a lot of sajda and prostration in this month. He says, O those of you whose sinful deeds have held you back as hostages, O those of you whose sinful deeds have held you back as hostages, free yourself from being a hostage by repenting to Allah. Subhanallah. One after the other, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned to us so that you and I will appreciate what Allah has given to us and we will not become negligent in our duties and we will not become lazy. And we will not show signs of being that we don't care about what Allah has given to us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned to us that Allah's mercy, it descends to such an extent that Allah's mercy actually wraps us up. It covers us. In the hadith recorded by Imam Tibrani, the Sahabi Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the companions, and by extension, he spoke to all of us and he said about the month of Ramadan, he said, يَغْشَاكُمُ اللَّهُ Allah covers you with His mercy. So much mercy comes from Allah that He actually covers you up. Throughout He has covered you with His mercy. فَيُنْزِلُ الرَّحْمَةً He sends down mercy, He sends down His compassion. Allahu Akbar. He again tells us, وَيَحُطُّ الْخَطَايَا And Allah forgives sins in abundance. He again tells us, وَيَسْتَجِيبُ فِيهِ الدُّعَاءِ And Allah accepts a lot of supplication also. And He again tells us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looks towards us when we compete with each other in doing good deeds. And this is the spirit that comes in the month of Ramadan. The spirit of competition. Not in worldly deeds. Not in going after something that is useless. But the competition in trying to achieve closeness to Allah. The competition in trying to do as more good as possible than the other person. And when we try our best to do that amount of good deeds, whether it is recitation of the Quran, or whether it is the reading of performing salat of Qiyamul Layl, and any other good deed, that competition type of atmosphere that is created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks on that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with that. And on account of that competition type of atmosphere that is created among us, the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts to the angels. The hadith says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَيُبَاهِي بِكُمْ مَلَائِكَتَهُ. And Allah boasts to the angels about you. Allah tells the angels, look at my servants, what they are doing. Look at the same human beings about whom you said that they will create bloodshed. That is the objection the angels made to Allah. The Holy Quran in Surah Baqarah tells us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced to the angels that He was going to create mankind, He was going to create a vicegerent on the earth, a Khalifa, and the angel understood the attributes that man will have, anger, all sorts of different things that they will have. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that to them, they said to Allah, why are you making on the face of the earth those who will spill blood and those who will make mischief and confusion? Referring to man. Why will you put on earth those people who will spill blood? They won't do anything except commit bloodshed and they will make mischief and confusion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know what you don't know. I know what you don't know. You know, in other words, the commentators have stated that they were looking at one, probably they were looking at some of the sifats and the attributes that are in man. A man becomes angry, he becomes violent. He does things that he must regret afterwards. He does things that he doesn't even have control of his own self. He says things that are destructive. He does things that are destructive. He becomes a person that he's not concerned about anybody else at times because of those innate qualities and attributes that he's created with. And the angels were looking at that. And the angels also knew that before man, the shayateen and the devils were placed on the earth. And the devils, the jinnats and the shayateen, they created bloodshed. And they made confusion. So the angels, looking at what the previous creation on the face of the earth did, they were assuming, well, this next creation will do the same thing. So they said, oh Allah, why are you putting on the face of the earth those who will spread bloodshed and make confusion? When they said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I know what you do not know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew very well that He will place in man such beautiful attributes that can actually raise him higher than the status of angels. Allahu Akbar. The heart of the human being, the heart of the human being, the akhlaq of the human being, the noble conduct, the softness, the kindness, compassion, mercy, the quality of tasamuh to overlook others' faults, the quality of helping the poor and the needy. And subhanallah, Allah knew that very well in man. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees this very servants and sees the human beings being engaged in such actions that are so blessed and so rewarding and so great that it is actually far away from any tinge and shadow of mischief and corruption. And He sees His servants engaging in such acts of worship that the angels alone, they are engaging those actions in the heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at them. Allah becomes extremely happy. And He says to the angels, these are the people about whom you were saying they will spill blood. Look what they are doing. So the hadith says, وَيُبَاهِ بِكُمْ مَلَائِكَتَهُ. Allah boasted the angels about what we are doing. So the Prophet ﷺ says to us, when Allah is boasting about your good deeds, and Allah is taking pride in what you are doing, because you, the human beings, you are the crown of Allah's creation. And Allah loves to see that this creation that He has given so much honor and He has elevated to the highest stages from all the thousands and millions of different creation, He loves them. He loves to see them doing something that when they are doing these things, nobody of the other makhluk will find any fault in it. Subhanallah. It is like the same thing that you go and you speak to another person about your son, and you say, my son is a great man, he's a very honest person, his akhlaq and conduct is very good, he doesn't do any wrongdoing, he's very, very obedient to me, he does never lie, he doesn't hurt anybody at all, and he's always obedient to Allah. And you are telling other people that, and then the other people see this in your son, you feel happy as a father that what you have spoken about your son is the truth. He is very obedient to Allah. He is very obedient to his parents. He doesn't commit sins and transgression. And he is good. You feel proud about that. You feel proud about that in a good way. But if he does something wrong, it breaks your heart. And you feel ashamed. And you feel that you cannot face the same people to whom you have mentioned all his good qualities. So we feel proud about that. When that person is connected to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and made us the ashraful makhlukat, the best of all His creations. So when we do good, subhanallah, the other makhluk cannot find fault. The jinns can say, look what you have created. Look at the mischief makers. Look at the tyrants and oppressors. Look at the people who are spilling blood every day. Look at them. The angels can say also, oh Allah, we told you that they will spill blood. Look what they are doing. But when Allah sees His servants engaging in different acts of worship, subhanallah, He becomes happy. So He says, in other words, you can't find a fault in those people now. وَيُبَاهِ بِكُمْ مَلَائِكَتَهُ. يُبَاهِ بِكُمْ. He, Allah, boasts to the angels about us. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us what Allah is doing for us. He says, when the month of Ramadan comes in, and you would have heard about it again and again, Sufidat al-Shayateen, all those devils and satans that are around us, they distract us in our worship. They put evil promptings in our heart. They make us do things that we really were not inclined to doing. They create waswasa in our hearts. They bring bad thoughts in our hearts. They fill so many vices in our hearts, in order that we may have a blessed Ramadan to worship Allah. Allah locks them down. Allah sends His angels. He makes the angels tie them with chains, and they throw them in the ocean. The hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim says that وَسُلْسِلَةِ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَسُفِّدَةِ الشَّيَاطِينُ وَمَرَدَةُ الْجِنِّ. All the satans, the devils, and the rebellious jinnats, they are chained, they are tied, they are locked, they are arrested. Allah does not want them amongst us to disturb our acts of worship. Look what Allah is doing for us. Subhanallah. Again, the doors of Jannat may always be closed, and the doors of Jahannam, they are always open. Every day people are committing sin. But the hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari, it is mentioned where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah goes further to open all the doors of Jannah. Allah goes further to open all the doors of paradise as a means of attraction to us, so that we may do every form of good deed, so that we will be able to enter any one of these doors of paradise that He has made for us. And as for the doors of Jahannam, وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ فَلَمْ يُفْتَحْ مِنْهَا بَابٌ. And all the doors of Jahannam, they are locked up, and not a single door remains open. Why? The commentators have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His mercy, His compassion is so much in this month that He doesn't want to send anybody to the fire of hell. So He has ordered the angels, lock all those doors. this month is not the month that people want to go there, and I do not want to send anybody there. And on the other hand, he wants to send us to paradise. He wants to send us, he wants us to increase in our good deeds. So he orders the angels to open all the doors of paradise so that we can do each and every type of good deed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an announcer announcing from the first night of Ramadan and thereafter every other night. Subhanallah, the angel is saying again and again, Ya baqi al-khayri aqbil, O those the seekers of good deeds, hasten and come forward and do your good deeds. Subhanallah. Wa ya baqi al-sharri aqsir, and the seeker of evil deeds, decrease your evil, stop your evil. Subhanallah, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters. When we look at all these things that are given to us only in the month of Ramadan, only in the month of Ramadan, and we read about so many different traditions, we hear them every day, we read them in the books about the month of Ramadan, so much virtues, so much blessings, so much rewards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us day and night. And he said, "Wal ifsa'im," and for a fasting person, there is a dua that is never rejected by Allah. As long as you are in the state of fasting, Allah is saying, you ask, make dua, and I will accept your dua. The mouth of the fasting person is sweeter to Allah than musk, the sweetest perfume on the face of the earth, and the sweetest perfume in Jannah. This is why the soil and the dirt and the earth of Jannah is scented with musk. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about certain things in paradise, in the Holy Quran, he spoke about it, mentioning it, that it is covered and mixed with musk. And this is how our mouth smells to Allah, because of the fact that our stomach is empty, there isn't anything. And when we open our mouth to speak, etc., you know, that scent from the stomach, it can emanate and it can come out. A person may say that doesn't smell good. But you know why our mouth smells so nice in the sight of Allah? Because we are in a very great act of ibadat, the ibadat of fasting. And that ibadat of fasting is such that even if we are not doing any tilawat of the Quran, even if we are not performing a single rakat, even if we are not giving charity, even if we are not performing umrah, even if we are not teaching, our blessings keep on coming in, subhanallah, in thousands and thousands. That is just the act of sawm and fasting. Just the act of fasting. Subhanallah, all the other months of the year have passed. They will come after Ramadan, but these virtues are not seen there. It is confined to Ramadan. Subhanallah. Why? What did we do that made Allah do all these things for us? What did we do? What did we really do? Did we move mountains? Did we cut our necks in the path of Allah? Did we spill our blood in the path of Allah, begging and begging and begging again, suffering ourselves? And so Allah, we want a month like Ramadan. We didn't do that. Nobody did that. We didn't even make dua for that. But Allah has given that to us. You know why? Because Allah loves us very much. That is why. Allah loves us so much that we cannot even imagine. Allah loves us very much. That besides the month of Ramadan, if you look at the things that we see as being insignificant, the tremendous amount of blessings that Allah has placed in these things, we will wonder, subhanallah, such a small thing, such a trifling thing, such a trivial thing. Subhanallah, what does the hadith say, recorded by Imam Tirmizi and other compilers? When you leave your home, you make wudu and you walk to the masjid. We are coming for something good, isn't that so? If we want to come to the masjid, we have to walk or drive. That's a lazim act. That is an act that is essential. But look how merciful and loving and kind Allah is. Allah says, I know you have to walk to go to the masjid, but you know what? I'll give you something extra. Every footstep you take, Allahu Akbar, I will forgive one sin that you have committed. And not alone, not that alone, but together with forgiving that one sin, oh, my servant, I love you so much, I will elevate your status one degree higher in paradise. Allahu Akbar. You just walk towards my house and you see how I work with my blessings for you. Allahu Akbar. By the time we reach the masjid, we may have taken 1,000 steps. We may have taken 100 steps. That is the amount of sins that have been washed away from our records. And that is the amount of degrees higher, not blessings. Not one blessing and two blessing. Degrees higher in the sight of Allah. Status is building. That is how higher we go in the sight of Allah. We come to the masjid, the time is short. We say to ourselves that, why go home and come back? Let me just sit in the masjid. So we are sitting in order to perform another salat. But that sitting is convenient to ourselves, isn't that so? Because if we leave and we go, then we will get caught up. We might reach back late. We will miss our takbiratul ula. So it is to our convenience. But Allah says, my servant, although it's to your convenience, you don't worry, I will continue to bless you. You just sit back and watch the hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari. It says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when anyone performs their salah in the house of Allah and they sit back waiting for another salat, nothing keeps them back except the waiting for that salat, then Allah will bless them as if they are in salat. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine you are sitting back relaxing, speaking to your brother, and you are getting blessings as if you are going up and down ruku and sajda? Allahu Akbar. What can we expect better? We are doing nothing and we are getting something. Which one of us can go to work, do nothing and ask for a salary? We can't do that. We make our demands when we have fulfilled our task. We are doing nothing and Allah has given us. Not only that, not only Allah will keep on giving us the blessings as if we were actually performing salat, but the angels, we get the du'as of the angels. The angels continuously, for as long as we sit in the masjid waiting for that salat, the angels say, Allahumma ighfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu. Oh Allah, please forgive the servant. Oh Allah, please have mercy on the servant. We are fortunate to get the du'as of the angels and we are just sitting doing nothing. What can we expect? How loving is Allah to us? Subhanallah. That is with respect to rewards and blessings. Let us look at the side of Allah that forgives. We want blessings in this world. We want to have to eat. We want sustenance. We want good life at home. We want unity and harmony. We want to be protected from harms on the face of the earth. We want that we will always have a sustenance, a livelihood. We want that we don't become sick and unable, disabled, handicapped, on a wheelchair. We want all these things. These things are connected to this life. We want goodness. We want comfort. But my dear respected brothers and sisters, more important than that is that we need Allah's forgiveness every day in our life. Because if we are sick, we can still go Jannah. If we are crippled, we can still go Jannah. If we have nothing to eat, we can still go paradise and Jannah. If we have no job, we can still go Jannah. But if we are laden with sins, there is no Jannah for us. More important is to have Allah forgive our sins. And look how Allah is loving even in that area also. Imam Tirmizi has recorded a beautiful hadith about which he has said, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ. This hadith is Hassan. It is good. It is sound. The hadith is narrated by one of the closest companion of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, the personal attendant of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrated to Medina, the mother of Anas, Ummu Sulaim radiallahu ta'ala anha, took up her little son Anas and she carried the son to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, I donate my child in your service. Use him to your service. Allahu Akbar. Such love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anas radiallahu ta'ala grew up as a son to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As a son for 10 long years, Anas radiallahu ta'ala stayed in the service of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can you imagine what sharaf and honor is that? While people are coming in, knocking on the door, wanting a 5 minutes and a 2 minutes to see the Rasul, Anas is there with him throughout. Anas is cleaning the house. Anas is doing the chores around the house. And Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, for all my life I live with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was to me like a father. He never reprimanded me. He never rebuked me. He never was harsh and stern to me. He was the most loving and kind to me. And he will only say, the most he will say, if he had asked me something to do, if he had asked me something to do and I didn't do it, the most he will say, oh Anas, why didn't you do it? Subhanallah. Anas says, one time I had forgotten something to do and I was on the street with some boys playing. The Messenger of Allah, I did not know, he said, he came and he put his hands over my eyes and he says, who is this? Like how we play with little children. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says, from the scent of his blessed hands, the beautiful scent coming from his hands, I immediately recognized it is the Rasul of Allah. I said, Rasulullah. He moved his hand. He says, Anas, didn't I send you to do something? Allahu Akbar. Anas is narrating this hadith. Anas radiallahu ta'ala says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and it is a hadith Qudsi. And from this hadith, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, we will see how loving is Allah to us, how much love Allah has for us. And sometimes we can't see that and understand that. In this life, we live lives such that sometimes we don't obey Allah at all. Sometimes we do wrong things from the morning to the evening. 5 times salat, sometimes we don't perform 1 single salat. We go to sleep, Allah protects us. We got up in the morning, Allah feeds us. At lunchtime, Allah gives us lunch. At dinner, Allah gives us dinner. Allah sends the rain and we drink from His water. Yet we continue to disobey Allah. Allah loves us. He gives us a chance. He gives us and gives us and gives us so that we will turn back and say, oh Allah, enough is enough. Oh Allah, I have done wrong. Oh Allah, please forgive me. I intend to change the direction in my life. So look at the love of Allah in this hadith Qudsi. Anas radiallahu ta'ala said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu ta'ala, Allah says, Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, O son of Adam, innaka, certainly you, ma da'awtani, as long as you supplicate to me, warajawtani, and as long as you have hopes on me, ghafartu laka ala ma kana wala ubali, I will forgive you. As long as you make dua to me, and as long as you have hopes in me that I will forgive you, then I will forgive you for all your sins. And I wouldn't mind to do that, O my servant. I wouldn't mind to do that. That wouldn't be a burden for me to do, O my servant. I will do that. Wa yabna Adam, and O son of Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء. O son of Adam, O man, O my servant, if your sins are so much that they leave the face of the earth and they reach the clouds and they are touching the clouds, can you imagine how much sins there are? Your sins fill up the entire space on the earth. They begin to rise, and they rise, and they rise above where we see the planes are passing, and they rise higher, and the more sins we are committed, and the more sins we are committed, and they begin to touch the clouds. What does Allah say about that? Yabna Adam, O son of Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء. If your sins are so many that they are actually touching the clouds, ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرُتَنِي, and then you come to me and you beg me for forgiveness, غَفَرُتُ لَكَ, I will certainly forgive you, O my servant. I would mind to do that. Allahu Akbar. I love you so much, I will forgive that. وَيَبْنَا Adam, and O son of Adam, لَوْ أَتَيْتَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَا, and if you would have come to me with this whole earth filled with sins, O my servant, O son of Adam, Allahu Akbar. If you were to come to me with this whole earth that is filled with sins, ثُمَّ لَقِيتَنِي, and then you meet me in the hereafter, لَا تُشْرِكُوا بِي شَيْئًا, but you are not committing shirk with me, لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقْرَابِهَا مَغْفِرَةً, I will meet you with the same amount of forgiveness. So if you have a whole world filled with sins, I will meet you with a whole world filled with forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. Why is Allah doing all this for us? on the principles of justice and fairness, it requires that we do a sin, we get punishment. We do a good, we get good. Isn't that so? Here is it. There are servants. Their whole lives are filled with sins. Their hearts are dark with sins. And we, many people, commit sins daily. We disobey Allah, subhanallah. And Allah is saying, your sins can actually touch the clouds and fill the space of the earth. And you come to me and ask, I will forgive you. You don't worry, I will do that. Look at the amount of love Allah has given to us. We are not asking for it, but Allah is just shedding this amount of love and extending this love to us day and night, begging us to come to Him to seek His forgiveness. My dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, in return for that love, how much love do we give to Allah? Allahu Akbar. How much love do we give to Allah? When our mothers do a lot of kindness for us, and they grow us up, breastfeed us, clean us when we dirtied ourselves. When we dirtied ourselves, they will bathe us and change our clothing, and we grow up and we become mannish and we backbite. We start to talk harsh to them. They say, son, you don't know how much I used to love you and cuddle you up. And for the whole night, I used to wake up just for you to get some rest. And I used to get up as soon as I heard you crying in the night, I will come and nurse you. You have forgotten all those kindness. Oh, my son, what is the matter with you? Why have you forgotten how kind I have been to you? How much more Allah has done for us? How much more Allah loves us? Allahu Akbar. And how much love are we given to Allah in return? Subhanallah. Our love for Allah, what is the status of that love? Allah has commanded us to do a little bit of duty, a little bit of ibadat, and that also is difficult. Sometimes we stand for salat lazily. We come for tarawih salat at night. We see at the back of the masjid, people are waiting and waiting. The imam starts his takbir, ul Allahu Akbar. He finishes surah Fatiha. He finishes his qirat. When he's about to ruku, people are now running to join the line. Why are we so lazy towards Allah's ibadat? If Allah behaves like that towards our sustenance, what will happen to us? If Allah says, no food for you, what will happen to us? We read salat. We don't want to do a lot. We leave now and then. After four, some people are leaving. Why? What are we doing? Why are we not showing love to Allah? What is this that is happening? We leave after 8, after 12, after 16. Why are we negligent towards Allah? Don't we know that we need Allah in our lives? Without Allah, we cannot survive. Allah has given us so many things, but yet there is this attitude that we just can't find ourselves turning towards Allah in ibadat and giving to Allah what is His due, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters. We have to understand how loving Allah is to us. We have to understand that, and Allah tells us how much we must love Him. He says, "Walladhina amanu ashaddu hubba lillah." Those people who believe, their love is very, very great for Allah. Their love is so much for Allah in the heart. It has actually filled the heart and it is overflowing in the heart. That's the amount of love the believers have for Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say it. And he also taught us to say, to beg Allah for His love. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbaka. Oh Allah, I ask You for Your love. Allahumma ja'al hubbaka ahabba al-ashya'a ilayya. Oh Allah, make Your love more beloved to me than everything on the face of the earth. I want You to be more beloved to me. These are from the blessed du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this month, when Allah is extending so much good to us, it is only fair that we return to Allah some love also, and love Allah very much, and our love for Allah will be shown in how we conduct ourselves towards His worship and ibadat and all acts that He has commanded us to do. May Allah increase us in our acts of ibadat and increase His love in our hearts, so that we will continue to develop that love for Allah and inculcate that deep love for Allah, such a love like how the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, that he will stand up motionless for the whole night. Subhanallah. His feet will become swollen. Aisha is saying to him, O Messenger of Allah, you have no sins. Allah has forgiven your sins, past and future. Why do you exert yourself? Whole night you are in tahajjud salat. Look, your feet are swollen. Look what is happening to you. He says, O Aisha, if Allah has been so kind to me, should I not show Him how grateful I am to Him? we have to show Allah gratitude, love, and also ask for forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that deep rooted in our hearts, those things, so we will turn to Him, beg for His forgiveness in this month and other months, and turn to Him as true believers, as sincere believers, as devout, committed, and dedicated servants, so that ibadat will never be a burden upon us. Standing for salat will never be a burden for us, but it will be a sweetness for us. Wal akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.